One of my favorite films to watch around St. Patrick's Day, for no better reason really than it's set in Ireland, is Waking Ned Devine. You've seen it. At least some of you. It's a light-hearted film about a couple of men of a small village of Tullymore who discover someone in the village has won the lottery. And when they realize it was Ned Devine who won the lottery, they pay him a visit, only to find that Ned has died of the shock. So they decide to impersonate Ned to claim the lottery winnings, eventually convincing the entire village to fool the lottery officials and share in the jackpot. And antics ensue. It's a great movie, lighthearted. I recommend it to you. But I want to focus on one quick scene. One of the villagers is a young boy of maybe 12, Morris. And in one scene, Morris is visiting the priest who is filling in while the regular priest is on pilgrimage. And they're in the church and the priest is just kind of plunking around on the organ. And Morris asks, "What can you play?" "Nothing really," the priest replies. "I just like messing around." "Can you play songs about Jesus?" "No, I wish I could." Then Morris shifts the subject somewhat abruptly. "So did he come to you then?" "Who's that?" "Jesus." The priest stops to think. "Jesus, well, he did in many ways, yes. But did you see him?" "Well, no, not exactly." "But you're working for him." "I am, doing the best I can." "Do you get paid for it?" "Well, it's more a payment of a spiritual kind, Morris." "All right." So the priest then says, "Well, do you think you could be drawn to the church, Morris?" "I don't think so." "Well, you never know," says the priest. And Morris responds, "I don't think I could work for someone I'd never met and not get paid for it." Really puts his finger on it, huh? I love it. Morris asks some powerful questions here. "So did he come to you then? Did you see him? Well, you're working for him." And you know the punchline is approaching once he asks, "Do you get paid for it?" And this is a question, one of the questions that I've been thinking about this week. Has Jesus come to you? Notice how in the Easter stories are full of Jesus coming to people. 2 weeks ago, it was Mary Magdalene. Last week, it was Thomas. This week, it's Paul on the one hand and Peter and some of the disciples on the other. So let's look at this gospel story first. Peter and a handful of other disciples are hanging out on the beach. Must be a nice day. And Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And his friends say, it's a rough paraphrase, "We'll grab the beer." Thank you. Now, I sort of have to wonder what Peter and the others are doing going fishing. After all, this is the third time they've seen Jesus since his resurrection. You'd think they'd be doing something a bit more productive. But Jesus shows up, and they don't recognize him. And they don't recognize him. Just as Mary didn't recognize him. It's almost as though Jesus can be hard to spot unless we're paying attention. Anyway, Jesus helps them out with the fishing, but that's just so they can recognize him. And when they do, almost nothing holds them back. Peter jumps into the water and starts swimming for shore, and what does Jesus say when they get there? "Come have some breakfast." Because Jesus' invitation is gentle. But once breakfast is finished, it's down to business. Jesus questions Peter three times. And this side of Easter, Peter doesn't deny Jesus, but affirms his love for Jesus. And that's uncomfortable for Peter. Because love for Jesus isn't just a feeling or a nice thing to do on Sunday. But it's also a call to action. feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Loving Jesus is not a spectator sport. Encountering Christ has a nasty way of shifting all our priorities and setting for us completely foreign agendas. As Christ says to Peter, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, we might hear him saying, in my company, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. Follow me. It's a bit of a hard sell. But that's what it means to follow the crucified and risen one. It's not just about what we would like to do, but about the work Jesus has for us to do. Emerson once wrote, "The purpose of life is not to be happy. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, to have it make some difference that you have lived and lived well." I don't think he was too far off the mark on that. And it's also true that doing a number of those things can lead to a happy life as well. But there is work that we have to do. And if we thought Peter had it bad, look what happened to Paul. When he was Saul, he had it all figured out. He knew who were the right sort of people, the people in God's favor, and who were the wrong sort. He knew it in his bones. He knew his scriptures. And he knew that these Jesus followers could not possibly be God's beloved children. They had to be stopped. They were corrupting others. So he set out to stop them, and something entirely unexpected happened. Jesus showed up and blasted all of Paul's plans to smithereens. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" Paul isn't paying attention, so he doesn't recognize Jesus either. And he gets a lesson then in what it means to get in the way of what God is doing. So what does all of this mean for us? As I said, I've been pondering this question. Has Jesus come to you? I invite you to ponder it with me. I know, what an inappropriate sort of question to ask, especially in a church. I think we're uncomfortable with the oogie-boogie notions of, has Jesus come to you? And in part, I suppose that's because we've often known people who have used language like this as a point of pride. We've known people who wear their Christianity like Saul wore his righteousness, as a way to keep others in line, to keep others in check, to assert their superiority. But it is the heart of the Easter message that Jesus is alive and is seeking you and me. Elsewhere in John's gospel, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I have chosen you." We do not come to Jesus, but Jesus comes to us in many ways. Jesus comes to us in the Eucharist, in prayer, in strangers, and those in need. We should be ready to be surprised by how Jesus comes to us, in whom, by whom, and with whom. Because Jesus seldom hangs around with the right people, as Paul quickly learned. Yesterday, some very sad news. A beloved author and speaker, Rachel Held Evans, died unexpectedly at the age of 37. Due to some complications with her medical treatment. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time making Rachel Held Evans an illustration for my sermon, but I thought it would be an appropriate time to let her voice speak a little bit more. She says, "We have the choice every day to join in the revelry, to imbibe the sweet wine of undeserved grace, or to pout like Jonah, argue fairness like the vineyard employees, resent our own family like the prodigal's older brother. At its best, The church administers the sacraments by feeding, healing, comforting, forgiving, and welcoming home the people God loves. At its worst, the church withholds the sacraments in an attempt to lock God in a theology, a list of rules, a doctrinal statement, a building. And elsewhere, she says, this is what God's kingdom is like. A bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at a table, not because they are rich or worthy or good, but because they are hungry, because they said yes, and there's always room for more. And it is into this sort of community that Jesus calls us. Follow me. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Feed my sheep, feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, the stranger, the refugee. Visit those in prison, comfort the sick and brokenhearted, bless the dying. That is what it means to follow Jesus. But perhaps you're a little like Morris, and you don't think you can work for someone you've never met and not get paid for it. Well, in that case, take comfort in knowing that Jesus will sometimes meet us on the way, unexpectedly, as the theologian Albert Schweitzer once wrote. He comes to us as one unknown, without a name, as of old, by the lakeside, he came to those men who did not know who he was. And he speaks the same words, follow me, and sets us to those tasks he must fulfill in our time. He commands, and to those who hearken to him, whether wise or unwise, he will reveal himself in the peace, the labors, the conflicts, and the suffering that they may experience in his presence. And as an ineffable mystery, they will learn who he is. Amen.